I want to thank the elders and Jeb and this beautiful, lovely audience here this morning for this blessed opportunity to stand and speak the word of God to you. I'm just hallelujah happy and peacock proud to have this opportunity. I was telling my wife, if somebody asked me how I preached this morning, I'm going to say, I clicked it. But we're going to bring to you the word of God. And there's a light. Thank you. Just one of them needs to be closed. That one on the right was just kind of tearing my eyes up. We're going to bring you a message this morning from the word of God. And we're going to go to Psalms chapter 127 and verse number 1. The old preachers used to say when I was a youngster, I'm going to give you this text and I'm going everywhere preaching the word. And so I'm kind of going to do that this morning. I'm not going to try to be an expositor, all that kind of good stuff. I'm just going to start with a text and go everywhere preaching the word. The Bible says in Psalms 127 verse 1, except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh but in vain. I want to talk to you this morning from the subject, the house that the Lord built. The house that the Lord built. Men have built some beautiful houses. There are beautiful houses in this city. There are also great houses. There are governor's mansions. There's the White House. The house that Solomon built was a great house. This was a house that his father David proposed to build. David desired to build this house with all of his heart, but he was a man of war. He had bloodshed on his hands. 1 Chronicles chapter 28 verse 3. And he could not build it. And God told David, he says, I will raise up your seed after you. And you and he shall build me a house. 1 Chronicles chapter 17 and verse 12. Solomon came along and he went to the task. He contracted Hiram of Tyre and the Sidonians, 1 Kings 5, 1 through 6. And they completed this house after 7 years. 1 Kings 6, 38. And today this house would be worth in the millions of hundreds of millions of dollars. And although it was great against the sky and all its magnificence, Solomon built that house. The house that the Lord built was greater. Haggai said in chapter 2 verse 9, the glory of this latter house shall be greater than the former, saith the Lord of hosts. And in this place I will give peace, says the Lord of hosts. He had to be talking about the house that Jesus was going to build, because the Bible says in 1 Timothy chapter 3 verse 15, but if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. This house was so great that a heathen tyrant dreamed about it. And the dream was terrible and dreadful. And it was so terrible that his sleep left him. Daniel chapter 2 verse 1 through 30. And the king said, call the astrologers. And they said, tell us the dream and we'll interpret it. But the king said, if you don't tell me this dream and interpret it, I will cut you in the pieces. And of course, this would involve Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Daniel asked the king for more time. God revealed the dream and a night vision in verse 19. And Daniel told the dream and the meaning. He said there was a great image that stood before the king. Its form was terrible and awesome, verse 31. It was a head of gold, breast and arms of silver, a belly and thighs of brass, legs of iron, and feet part iron and part clay. And then he said that was a stone that was cut without hands, and smote that image on his feet and broke it into pieces, and the broken pieces were ground like powder, carried away by the wind. And this stone became a great mountain and filled the whole earth. And Daniel said, "You, O king, are a king of kings. You are a head of gold, and God gave you a kingdom, power and strength and glory," verse 37 and 38. And then he said, "After thee shall arise an inferior kingdom to thee, and another third kingdom of brass, and a fourth kingdom of strong as iron." And then he said, "Feet and toes mean kingdom shall be divided, partly strong and partly broken. And they shall mingle themselves with the seed of men, but they shall not cleave to one another." And then he says in verse 44, "And in the days of these kings, the God of heaven will set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed. And the kingdom shall not be left to other people, but it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever." And he said in verse 45 that the dream is certain and the interpretation sure. Secondly, the Lord's house was predicted by the prophets. Isaiah chapter 2, verse 2 and 3, the Bible says, "And it shall come to pass in the last days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established on the top of the mountain, and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow under it. And many people shall go and say, 'Come ye, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, and he will teach us of his ways, and we will walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem.'" Zechariah chapter 1:16, the Bible says, "Thus saith the Lord, I am returned to Jerusalem with mercies. My house shall be built in it." John the Baptizer finally broke the silence of the centuries in Matthew chapter 3:2, when he said, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." Thirdly, the Lord's house is an impregnable foundation. Eventually, Jesus Christ is born. He grows up and he goes to Jordan to be baptized of John. And after several months of work, he carries his disciples into the coast of Caesarea Philippi. And he asks them the question, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" Matthew 16:13. They gave Jesus the opinion of the populace. "Some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." But the Lord was not satisfied with these excellent guesses. He asked his disciples, "Whom do ye say that I am?" And the outspoken Peter said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus answered, "Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed this unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven." Peter did not receive his answer from friends, ancestors, or teachers, but from God the Father himself. And brothers and sisters, I rest my hope on that fact. There is no statement like that in the universe. Search every bookstore, go to every library. So profound is that statement that Jesus decided to build his church on it. And when Jesus said in Matthew 16:18, "I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church,
and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. We need to quote Matthew 16:18 often. Jesus said, up on this rock. That preposition locates the church. The church has maximum security up there. No theological termites can undermine the Lord's church. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 11, for other foundation can no man lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Isaiah chapter 28, verse 16, the Bible says, behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation, a stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. And he that believeth shall not make haste. The stone was tested. It was tested by old King Herod. Then Herod, the Bible says, when he saw that he was deceived by the wise men, was exceedingly angry. And he sent forth and put to death all the male children who were in Bethlehem and in all its districts from 2 years old and under, according to the time which he had determined from the wise men. God protected that baby Jesus. The stone was tested not only by Herod, but by most of the learned men of his day. They asked, how knoweth this man letters, having never learned John 7:15? They didn't see Jesus in any of their schools. Jesus attended the University of Glory. Nicodemus said, we know that thou art a teacher come from God. John chapter 3 and verse number 2. If you come from God, you have a message. And Jesus had a message. And not only that, but Matthew 16:18 says, upon this rock. That's demonstrative. That's a specific rock. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 verse 1 through 4, moreover, brethren, I do not want you to be unaware of all that all of our fathers were under the cloud and passed through the sea, and all were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea. All ate the same spiritual food and all drank the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. Not only did he say, I will upon this rock, but he said, I will build. Not I'll try, not if the Lord willing. Jesus said, I will build. I'm glad Jesus didn't let the contract out. I'm glad his mother didn't build the church. I'm glad his brothers didn't get the contract. I'm glad he didn't trust the building to Peter. You know, if Peter had gotten the contract, he would have denied its power to accomplish. I'm glad James didn't get the contract. For if James had gotten the contract, he would have doubted its ability to go through. And I'm glad that James and John, the sons of Thunder, didn't get the contract. For if they had possibly gotten the contract, they would have commanded fire to come down from heaven and consume the inhospitable. But Jesus got the contract, and he is the only builder. He said, I will build, and not only I will build, but I will build mine. Jesus owns his church exclusively. It's either Christ's church or it's not the Lord's church at all. You remember Matthew 16 and verse 17 when Jesus said, blessed are you, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed this unto you, but my Father who is in heaven. And then verse 18, Jesus said, and I say also unto you that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church. Well, if my Father is the Father of Christ, then my church is the church of Christ, and it is his house. And then he said, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I rest with the fact that he built the church of Christ, and that the church he built will stand. The church will always exist. One day, perhaps, when men dig on the ruins of this nation to see if it ever existed, or dig on Russia, or dig on China, when there's no more Harvard, and when there's no more Yale or Princeton or Purdue, the Church of Christ will still be in existence. It has heaven's stamp of approval. And if I can't be a member of anything else, I want to be a member of the Church of Christ. All of these other houses and all of these man-made monstrosities will disappear. The great airships that kiss of the lips of the wind, the skyscrapers flirting with the clouds, the great ships on the bosom of the ocean. This kingdom is going to stand because Daniel said it shall stand forever. Not only that, brothers and sisters, but salvation is in the Lord's house. I want you to understand that all of the saved are added to the Lord's house, which is His church. And we quoted that in 1 Timothy 3:15. Then the Bible says in Acts chapter 2 verse 47, praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. The church is Christ's body. In Ephesians chapter 1 verse 22 and 23, the Bible says that put forth all things under His feet and gave Him to be head over all things to the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him that filleth all in all. Jesus saves His body. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 23, the Bible says, for the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and He is the Savior of the body. There is one body. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse number 4, there is one body and one spirit, even as you are called, and the one hope of your calling. And we are reconciled into one body. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 16. My brothers and sisters, to be saved, one must come in to the Lord's house. You've got to get in this house. And you come into the Lord's house by hearing this gospel. Bible, Jesus said through the mouth of His holy apostle in Acts chapter 15, verse 7, and when there had been much disputing, Peter rose up in among them and said unto them, men and brethren, ye know how that a good while ago God made choice among us, that the Gentiles by my mouth should hear the word of the gospel and believe. You hear how Jesus died, how He was buried, and how He rose again. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 1 through 4. The Bible says, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, by which also you are saved. For I delivered unto you first of all, which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins, according to the scripture. There is nothing good, there is nothing pleasant about a man dying, except for the fact that He died for my sins. And He did it according to the scriptures. And that He was buried. And that He rose again the third day according to the scriptures. Hear how the gates of hell tried to block Jesus Christ, the builder of the church. Yes, Jesus was tried. He was crucified and buried. They took Jesus and carried Him through 6 illegal trials in 4 different courts. And Pilate washed his hands of Him. And the soldiers wove a crown of thorns and put it on His head. And somebody hit Him and another spat in His face. And spikes were nailed through His hands and His feet. And He was hanging between 2 thieves, a world of dizzy and feverish stress expressed in 2 words when He said, I thirst. He who satisfied the thirst of many was hanging there with His mouth hot like an oven. The day wore on and the pressure increased on the points that held the spikes, and somewhere out in the darkness was heard a cry, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And finally He said, it is finished. Not I am finished, but it is finished. Then old death, the hound dog of the universe, followed Jesus up Calvary's hill and caught him with spikes in his hands. He caught him with spikes in his feet, and he pulled out a piece of dangerous equipment called a sting, and he laid his sting on Jesus. Jesus died, and he died dead. Then a cruel soldier came and pierced him in his side, and they took his swollen, bleeding body down and laid him in the tomb. And although Pilate said, make it as sure as you can, Matthew 27:65, death knew that some in Mark 15:29, as they passed by the cross and railed on him and wagging their heads, were saying, "Ah, thou that destroyest the temple and buildest it in 3 days, save yourself." So that's when death called on old grave to assist him. You know old grave. He's the landlord of the universe. He got plenty in his plots all over the world. He and death put a special on Jesus and put a great big rock at the door of the sepulcher to make it sure that nobody could get in or out. But they made a big mistake. What they didn't realize is that they had put a rock in a rock. They had put a rock behind the rock. They placed a rock upon a rock. And they had rocked around the rock. They had rocked in the rock of ages. Old grave tried to hold him. But all of nature rebelled against that. The sun refused to shine. The S-U-N would not shine while the S-O-N was shining on Calvary. Midday got as dark as midnight. The dead got up and walked the streets of Jerusalem. And early, early on Sunday morning, Jesus met up with death in the grave, and they wrestled and tangled and tussled. And Jesus took the sting away from death and told grave, and old grave started having a nervous stomach. He couldn't hold it. And Jesus had to come up. He stood up again on his feet, healed and healthy, alive and alert, walking and talking. They couldn't keep Jesus in the grave because the Bible says that the wages of sin is death. And since Jesus had done no sin, the grave couldn't hold him. He went on back to heaven and sat down by the right hand of the majesty on high. You come to Jesus by believing this gospel. Acts 8:12, the Bible says, but when they believed Philip and the preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. You must believe it with all of your heart. Not only that, brothers and sisters, the Bible says in Hebrews 11:6, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. You come by repenting of your sins. Acts 17:30-31, the Bible says, and at the times and the times of this ignorance, God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent, because he hath appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men in that he raised him from the dead. You come by confessing that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Romans 10:9-10, the Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth that the Lord Jesus and believe in thy heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, but with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. You come by being baptized. Mark 16:15-16. Bible says, and he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. You stay in the house by living faithfully until death. The Bible says in Revelation chapter 2 verse 10, fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison that you may be tried. And ye shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful until death, unto death, and I will give you a crown of life. Not until death, not till you haul off and die, but in the face of death, you be faithful and I will give you a crown of life. The Bible says in Revelation chapter 14, verse 13, and I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth, yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors and their works do follow them. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 22 through 29, the Bible says, but ye are come unto Mount Zion and unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, to an innumerable company of angels, and to the general assembly and church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirit of just men made perfect, and to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel. See that ye refuse not him that speaketh. For they escaped not who refused him that spake on earth. Much more shall we not escape if we turn away from him that speaketh in from heaven, whose voice shook the earth. But now he hath promised, saying, yet once more I shake not the earth only, but also heaven. And this word, yet once more, signify the removing of those things that are shaken, as of those things that are made, that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. Wherefore, we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear, for our God is a consuming fire. Brothers and sisters, you've come to Mount Zion. Will you come to him and put your trust in this man? Would you come and put your trust in Jesus Christ? I've preached many a sermons, but this is the first time, I think, that I've gotten lost in a sermon. And so I'm not going to be ashamed about it. I'm just going to tell you, I got to moving so fast, I got lost in this sermon, but that's okay. We're going to keep right on going. And, I've been preaching for many years and I've never gotten lost in a sermon, but I did today, and that's good. That lets everybody know that I'm still human. But anyway, I'm just going to jump back in here and start back. I guess I needed that comeuppance. I was rocking so good, and then I got to thinking, what in the world am I doing up here? And when I did that, all of a sudden, the lights went out. But anyway, let me get back into this. To be saved, I want to go back to salvation is in the Lord's house. Let me just keep right on moving. I guess for some reason my PowerPoint went out, but that's okay. You must come to Jesus
by believing this gospel. Acts chapter 8 and verse number 12. The Bible says that when they believed Philip preaching things concerning the kingdom of God in the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. You must believe this gospel with all of your heart. Hebrews chapter 11 verse number 6. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. You come by repenting of your sins. Acts chapter 17 and verse number 30. The Bible says, at the time of this ignorance, God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent, because he hath appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained. Wherefore he hath given him assurance unto all men that he raised him from the dead. You come by confessing that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, Romans chapter 10, verse 9 and 10, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe with thy heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. You come by being baptized. Mark chapter 16, verse 15 through 16, the Bible says, and he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. But he that believeth not shall be damned. You stay in the house by living faithfully until death. Revelation chapter 2, verse 10, the Bible says, fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison that you may be tried, and you shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give you a crown of life. Revelation chapter 14, verse 13, the Bible says, and I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord. From henceforth, yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, and their works do follow them. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 22. Thank you, young child. The child said, yes. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 22-29. The Bible says, but you have come unto Mount Zion, and unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn which are written in heaven, and to God the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect, and to Jesus the mediator of a new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel. See that ye refuse not him that speaketh, for they escape not who refuse him that spake on earth, much more shall we not escape if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven, whose voice shook the earth. But now he has promised, saying, yet once more I shake not the earth only, but also heaven. And this word, yet once more, signifies the removing of those things that are shaken, as of things that are made, that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. Wherefore, we receive a kingdom which cannot be moved. Let us have grace, whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear, for our God is a consuming fire. I'm wondering this morning if there is one or more who would like to come to Jesus and obey the gospel that Jesus gave us in order to be saved. You come, brothers and sisters, by hearing how Jesus hung, bled, and died for our sins. You come by believing this gospel and then turning from your sins in repentance. Luke 13, 3 and 5. Confessing his holy and divine name and being buried in water for the remission of your sins. I'm wondering if there is one this morning that would like to come to Jesus and put him on in the watery grave of baptism. The opportunity is yours. The water is ready. The heaven, God is ready. The angels in heaven are ready. Everybody is ready for you to come to Jesus as we together stand and sing the song of invitation.